and gentlemen, and welcome to the premiere teaser trailer episode of a brand new podcast that is going to get down into the trenches and answer the definitive question of the Adam Sandler cinematic universe. I'm one of your curators, Devin Decker, and joining me, the other curator, probably the one who's more, you know, educationally equipped for the job we're about to do, Sejan Sarawick. Sejan?
Thank you, Devin. And you know what? I am very pleased to hear how serious you're taking this matter. And in fact, I feel a little like I'm not quite prepared. Hold one sec.
It'll be fine. Okay.
Hold one sec.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm gonna put a tie on, Dev, because yep. This is the kind of show that this is. This is a tie show. I'm not putting a button down on, mind you. I still have my T-shirt on, but I'm gonna put a tie on for this.
I'm wearing my Rob Liefeld Dickie shirt from the scene. You guys think you're better than everybody in High Fidelity that
sorry,
I have worn
Robert
ever
shirt?
Since. What?
What? No, sorry. You said sorry.
Oh, I said Rob Liefeld. That's the name of John Cusack's character from the film High Fidelity. And there's that scene.
No, when we're recording this, I don't think about any other film. There's only one type of film that we're going to talk
well,
about.
Well, you're
then.
The one who's like, let's talk about the clothes we're wearing. Now I feel like I need a tie. What? I'm not wearing a tie for this one, but this is supposed to be educational. What's the word that I wanted? Credentials. You have the educational credentials required for what we're about to embark upon. You 1 yard line from a doctorate. You.
Yeah, I was gonna say that there's at least one table full of scholars that wouldn't give me those credentials, but that's a different story.
That's for our other show. So
let's break this down, Dev. What are we doing here?
What we're doing here is we watched a movie a while back. I guess before we go into what we're doing here, because that is the main question of this episode, we're putting out a mission statement. They used to call it a manifesto, but then hackers, that bald guy, he gets real offended when he reads the word manifesto because it kind of has communist ties.
Yeah, right.
Right? You know, I don't know, but this is our mission objective. This is our mission statement. And before we deliver that mission statement, I just want to give a little background on who Sejan and I are. Sejan and I, if this is the first time that you've seen us, hello, Internet. It's lovely to meet you. But we've also been the hosts of another podcast for about the last 4 years called The Say Report. And The Say Report, we like to joke, is a show about everything. And the unfortunate thing about going that broad is it's hard to pin down anything when you're trying to, I don't know.
Decide what to talk about each week?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no. Anybody that's coming from that show knows too well that show can go everywhere and anywhere. Yeah. So we decided we wanted to put a limiter or two on ourselves, shall we say.
And that inspiration came from an episode of The Say Report that we called The Hubie Report, in which we watched a film called Hubie Halloween, starring Adam Sandler, you know, the name-dropped celebrity in the title of this show.
Yeah, I guess there's no spoiler there. Yeah.
No, it's... yes. And once Hubie Halloween was released, this discussion began amongst pop culture scholars as to whether or not there is a shared cinematic universe of Adam Sandler films.
Specifically, I will point to, at this point, this is a good time to bring this up, the Screen Rant article. Adam Sandler wants to make a quote-unquote Sandlerverse for his original characters, in which I don't even think they interviewed him, because that's the kind of thing that Screen Rant does, is go steal other people's interviews. But they basically talk about an interview that he was giving to somebody else about, in which he mentioned the idea of possibly creating an Avengers-style film for his characters to meet. Now, Dev, we had this discussion. We talked about all of this, and I have to admit that I kind of overlooked this one little detail about all of it. But he did say that he felt it was a movie that might come out in about 35 years. So we might be starting this a little prematurely.
I think we're starting it right on time. I think that if we don't begin to document history as soon as history occurs, then we could be doomed to lose the minutiae. And the minutiae is some of the most important parts of history. You know, is it really? I don't know. At least in popular culture, I feel like the minutiae is important. But it felt like a good time because, you know, I hear that Adam Sandler wants to start a Sandlerverse and have all of these characters meet and think, well, you've already done that, good sir, in a little film called Little Nicky. Right. I said little too many times. Seijin, please talk.
The problem is that's the title of the movie, so you can't really avoid it. But yeah, so the big thing is, and I'm going to just keep referring to the Screenwriter article, but honestly, it wasn't the only place that this came up. But Hubie Halloween came out and people lost their metaphorical shit about the idea that Adam Sandler movies were connected. And anybody that's been paying attention for the last 20 years knows for that's been the case, right? Little Nicky is the one that we point to specifically because it has the moment in heaven in which we run into Dev, help me out here, Chubbs, the golf
Weathers.
Instructor. Yeah, the golf instructor from Happy Gilmore, right? But like little things like the O'Doyles being in many a movie is not unusual, or Steve Buscemi possibly playing the same character just in different states of mind is not an unreasonable argument that has been made in the past, right? So like there is a sense that there was already a connected universe that people are just suddenly starting to pay attention to, and this is not to be clear, this is not us being, or me, I should say specifically, being like, oh, I've always known there was an Adam Sandler universe to pay attention to. Like, it's that idea that, like people that have been in this fan base, people that appreciate what Sandler does, which I will say it's an acquired taste, knowing full well that he makes bank every time he puts something out. Right? Like, we act like it's like a niche thing to be into Adam Sandler movies, but like the thing about it is that he is still extremely popular, right? And we'll get more into that as we talk about a few specific films going forward. But it is one of those things where like we feel that even though everybody loves these things, it feels personal to us, right? And so there is this idea that like we're gonna talk about some things and say some things that we hope that you agree with in this. I'm not trying to put any type of like caveats or anything on this, but let's talk about the fact that like we're talking about Adam Sandler, right, Dev? like there is a level at which we all have to kind of agree to be on, which I think this first episode is kind of all about for Devin and I to both get on the same level, but also for you guys to get on the same level with us about this idea that like we do seriously want to talk about Adam Sandler movies, and this is not a joke.
Yeah, this is 100% serious. Seijin mentions that this is not about wanting to be like, well, we've always known, and here's why. The reason why I wanted to do this show where we look back at the history of Adam Sandler in cinema and, you know, establish what films would or would not exist in a shared cinematic universe of Adam Sandler's characters is because Adam Sandler was ahead of the game. I want to give him all the credit in the world. He was creating something that didn't become, I'm going to say, allowed by mainstream cinema until 2012.
I think you're right. I think that there's two universes here, right? There's a universe in which we're talking about Adam Sandler, and there's a universe when we're talking about Mike Myers. I think that's the like the alternative to this, right? And I think what you're seeing with somebody like a Mike Myers, who also kind of at the same time had the same like rise and all of that, is that Mike Myers was doing a thing where he was creating many a character that he was trying to like help somebody fall in love with. And I think that like what Sandler really banked on is creating not the same character, but certainly a family of characters that were much more interrelated to themselves. And that became something that really kind of caught on for a lot of people, because you know what you're going to get when you go to an Adam Sandler movie in more ways than even going to a Mike Myers movie. And that's saying something, because you kind of also know what you're going to get there too, right? But like, but yeah, and that's even evident in something like Hubie, where you and I had the conversation about, like, he's basically Bobby Boucher, right? like Hubie, what's Hubie's last name? Hubie Dubois, right?
Hubie Dubois, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, is and that's not gone unnoticed. He has openly talked about how Hubie is very heavily influenced by Bobby Boucher, because Hubie Halloween in and of itself is like kind of a love story to past Sandler movies. But yeah, so there is this sense of interconnectivity that has always kind of been present there.
Yes, and I think about that review that I read when Little Nicky came out that said this is a clip show. It's a greatest hits of Adam Sandler's movies that came before. So if you like Adam Sandler, you'll probably like this. If you don't, then watch something else. So, that, I mean, Little Nicky came out 1998, right? We had this exact same conversation during that episode. And I still can't remember. Maybe it was 2001.
No, Little Nicky is 2000.
Oh, it's 2000. Nose. Okay, right on the nose, 2000. So that is 5 years after Billy Madison comes out, and already Adam Sandler is willing to make references to other films that, if you looked at the two of them, you would think the only thing these films have in common is that Adam Sandler is the lead.
Yeah.
You don't go any deeper than that when you look at the cover of Happy Gilmore and Little Nicky, and yet Carl Weathers shows up as Chubbs, and does a fantastic reference if you've been watching all along.
And you have to keep in mind that by that point, Little Nicky is really only kind of the fifth movie in the story here, right? Like he had done Billy Madison in 95, Happy Gilmore, followed by, if you want to talk about things that are definitively Sandlerverse, at least for me, you then have The Waterboy, Big Daddy, and then Little Nicky. Like, you know, he has other movies in there. He has Bulletproof, Wedding Singer comes out, and we'll definitely talk about Wedding Singer. But other than that, like we're really only five movies in, and suddenly he's at a point where as a creator, as a comedian, as an actor, he gets to be self-referential in a way that, like, honestly, before him, as a comedian doing this, you really only get in like big action stars, like where you have Arnold Schwarzenegger basically having it in his contract that he has to say, I'll be back in every movie. Right. Or you have fucking Stallone saying in every one of his movies, he gets to do something to a fucking Schwarzenegger cutout. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's these things that we get to, that we finally let action stars kind of just be like themselves in a series of movies in the early 90s. And Adam Sandler feels like he takes that concept and applies it to the comedy in a way that we haven't had in a long time.
Right. And it's one of the first times that you see that ever. So like being able to say, I want to apply these sensibilities, these comedic sensibilities that exist in action films, I'd like to actually lift those and transplant them into actual comedies.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I don't know if it's the first time you see it ever. It's the first time you ever see it making millions in this way, because it's the same idea that you get with guys like Jim Varney doing Ernest, right? Just not on that scale of him playing the same character every time. Maybe it's more akin to something like the Marx Brothers or the Three Stooges, where they're playing different characters every time, but they're not, right? Like, there's that sense that they're, you're going to see the Marx Brothers do the Marx Brothers bit, the shtick, right? And it's weird because Sandler finds this really beautiful balance between the shtick of being Adam Sandler, but also trying to create something unique every time. Like, as much as I can say Little Nicky has stuff in it that reminds me of Billy Madison, reminds me of Happy Gilmore, reminds me of that, Happy Billy and Nicky are all very different characters. Bobby Boucher is a very different character, right? Like, they're all different in their own way.
Yes. And that's important. I think that's a very important distinction, because you can look at other things that have shared, you know, universe sensibilities all coming up around the same time. Quentin Tarantino with his initial idea that Michael Madsen's character and John Travolta's character were the Vega brothers. And then that was going to be explored later on down the line. You have the View Askewniverse from Kevin Smith, and, you know, Jay and Silent Bob are there as sort of this connective tissue, and the fact that it all takes place in Red Bank, New Jersey, in or around that area. I mean, Mallrats is clearly not shot in New Jersey, but still, it's written to be New Jersey.
No, but, like, yeah. and there's this idea that, like, it becomes a thing, what you're talking, like the things that you're pointing to becomes a thing for like movie nerds, right? It becomes this niche thing for people that really love these things to really pick up on. And like the most obscure one that I can think of is who's the guy that wrote Get Shorty and
Elmore Leonard.
Stuff like Elmore Leonard has like the Elmore Leonard kind of universe. And the character that that Michael Keaton plays in Out of Sight and Jackie Brown are the same character, like, you know what I mean, like so you end up with this kind of thing exists, but it seems to only be existing for like people in the know. Adam Sandler is the guy that's like, no, I'm gonna do the same thing, but I'm gonna do this for everybody, like mom and dad are gonna get this too, right? Like and that is that inclusivity becomes key to Adam Sandler's success and continued success.
Yes, and also, once that goes mainstream, you're able to, you know, 8 years down the line, have an Iron Man movie, and people are ready to accept that all of these superheroes live in the same universe, mm-hmm. as opposed to Spider-Man and X-Men both being in New York, but they're never going to run into each other in Central Park. Right?
Yeah. Or as my mom likes to say, like, why doesn't Spider-Man call on Superman to come help?
I hope that you've explained why to your mother.
She knows. She just there's this idea that he makes it okay for us to kind of just accept that we're watching a movie, right? In a weird way, it's very like Bertolt Brecht, right? Like it's very Brechtian to be like, look, we all get it. You're an audience member. You've paid money. You want to come see me do something that you couldn't see me do in real life, right? Because he has a stage career before this. It's not that he never did his time doing stand-up or anything like that, but he loves doing the movie bits because he can just do the most ridiculous stuff that he would never be able to get away with on stage or pull off on stage. And he takes that sense of just like, I'm going to just do what's fun to me because me and the boys like doing this. And if you want to come along for the ride, you can. And again, it's that inclusivity, right? That idea that like we're all going to joke around and have a good time over at this table. Like you can come to this table if you want. You're welcome to sit at this table with us. We're not going to be the clique that keeps you out, but also we're going to just do our own thing. And like it almost as an audience member, it feels very good, right? It feels kind of, in a way, it's permission to bro out.
That's kind of a gross phrase, but it's also perfect. Pitch perfect. It is permission to bro out.
I mean, as gross as it might be, I think it applies really well here, though, because warts and all, I mean that, right? Like I know it's a gross term to say bro out, but there's some gross stuff that ends up happening in Salem movies, and I don't want to ignore those that either, right? Like we do need to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to approach these films at the best we can as scholars of film, so we are going to discuss those aspects. And honestly, what you just said about he gets to just have fun on screen, I'm super excited to watch You Don't Mess With the Zohan again. Like, that's something that, yeah. I forgot that movie existed until you said he gets to be ridiculous on screen. And I'm like, oh, like in Zohan, mm-hmm. a film that I did not want to watch. And then when I did watch, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Adam Sandler doing Adam Sandler. Why didn't I want to see this movie?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're also going to talk about that weird barrier to entry that we all kind of feel on every movie. And I know a lot of people feel on his just entire career that I will make a bold statement. I don't know anybody that has sat down and watched an Adam Sandler movie that didn't walk away from it being like, well, I like that one. You know what I mean?
I will support your bold statement by the fact that my mother and father in secret watch Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah. I know plenty of people out there that are just like, oh, Adam Sandler, right? And that attitude exists. And again, like, don't want to ignore that. That is part of the oeuvre of this whole thing. But again, I don't know anybody that has ever, even the people that have said that to me, they will admit, like, well, the one that I've seen I really liked. And it's like, all right then, like, let's talk about that.
Right. So, okay, so that's sort of the why that we're doing this.
Right.
I think we'll look at the how. How do we intend to look at, you know, 25 years of cinematic history involving Adam Sandler and say what is and what isn't definitively part of this Sandlerverse?
Well, right. And I think what we should do is unpack that comment a little bit first. The idea that the Sandlerverse is a thing that exists, okay, but the fact that there are things that Sandler has done that don't exist within it is key. And that's where the conversation starts to get really interesting to me, because even on our own, you know, even on Say Report, when we first talked about this, we even had a moment of like disagreement about, like, well, what constitutes a Sandlerverse movie, right? What characters of Sandler's are going to be in this Avengers movie, right? Like, and it gets to be really interesting, because for me, I won't speak for you, Dev, but for me, there's definitive no's, right? Like, things like Uncut Gems, Punch Drunk Love, even to that point, like something like Funny People, those just don't work, right? Like, we can talk about Funny People in a weird way in the fact that it kind of comments on the Sandlerverse, and we should definitely do that someday, but it's not part of it for me, right? And so, like, that seems obvious to me, right? And then there are ones that are obviously in it, right? Like, I mean, not to mention, you know, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison that give their fucking namesake to the rest of what ends up being his entire legacy later. But, like, I think Longest Yard is in it. Maybe it's not. We'll talk about that. Yeah, and so that's going to be part of this, right? Is us figuring out the how, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Right. Along the same lines as what Sijin said, and where we land on things that do or do not, Batman Begins, right? The Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy very obviously exists within its own pocket dimension of DC Comics as they have gone forward and made their own things. Along that same line, I would say that the Drew Barrymore Adam Sandler films, so Your Wedding Singer, Your 51st Dates, and Blended, exist in their own pocket universe as well. I mean, like, even if I want to go as far as to say that they are resurrected each time, which is very sad, because that means that the Wedding Singer people, they die, and then they come back and they live in Hawaii, and then even after they have a whole life together, that boat they're on at the end, it crashes and they die, and then they get resurrected as the Blended family. I mean, it's crazy, and it's kind of hard to map through, but it's a thought that I have. But the most important thing with the show that we're going to be doing as we explore the Adam Sandler cinematic universe is, while we are coming in with preconceived notions, and I think if there was one that was going to be stamped, like, and notarized, is that Uncut Gems is not part of a Sandlerverse in any way, shape, or form. I think that we both agree on that one. However, what we're not here to say this is our definitive way of looking at things and this is how you have to look at it. We are going to watch these films. We're going to go back to these films, and we're going to sort of chart a course and a map. We're gonna be cartographers, and we're going to create our definitive map of what a Sandlerverse includes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I just want to make sure I want people to know that, like, it's subjective. This is not the objective end all be all. That the only one that could come from is kind of Adam Sandler himself. And, you know, fingers crossed, maybe that happens, but...
Yeah, the author is dead. We all make our own rules. I'm just going to say this. Uncut Gems isn't part of the universe. Fight me on that. That's
okay,
what I'll say.
That's fine. I think that Uncut Gems isn't part of the universe either. We're in agreement on that one. But after we do our very scientific study in order to determine the, like, commandments of a Sandlerverse film... maybe we watch Uncut Gems and we understand, oh, we were wrong. We were very wrong. And this guy should be in the Sandlerverse. I'm just saying I'm open to that feeling of discovery.
I will say, in the spirit of Adam Sandler's inclusivity, I won't write a movie off until we have the discussion about it. There is the watch and the discussion. And if we have a discussion about a film and we realize it's just not going to work for us, I will abide by that. But until then, I'm going to hold opinions.
And that's the most important thing. We, Seijin and I, right now, a virtual handshake, are agreeing to withhold opinions until we've rewatched these films.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that in mind, we have brought in a little bit of bias in order to start somewhere. Because we looked at these films and we're like, how do we do this? If we're going to undertake this, what is the best possible route? Do we start with Going Overboard and just watch through to Hubie Halloween or any others that may come out after it and decide as we go? Do we start at the end and move back to the beginning? And both of those are fine ways to do it. And it's an interesting thing. But we decided, since there are six films that very much come from the same strand of DNA.
That's
where we want to start from. And those,
yeah, we decided on six films that we feel will really kind of define where we're coming from as a Sandler universe. Now, in that, we will talk about things that do and don't work in each of them, but also from that, know what we're then judging other things against, right? But yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's going to be our control group. And the control group for this one, the one that we've decided on, we've mentioned four of them already. Actually, we've mentioned five of them. The only one that we haven't mentioned is the weird outlier that still, you know,
we feel is important.
Not only do we feel that it's important, if it were at a family reunion, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that one's related to these other five.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So the six movies that we're going to start with are Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, The Waterboy, Little Nicky, Pixels, and Hubie Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, Pixels. You heard him right.
I did say Pixels.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I love Pixels. I do. I'm going to be honest. I saw Pixels twice in theaters and have watched it a minimum of twice each year since Pixels released.
Yeah.
But the arbitrary reason why these are the six films that we have decided is the fact that his female romantic interest in all six of these films has a double V name.
So, to be clear, there's going to be many rules. But one of the ones that we felt was like a spine was the idea that he sticks to this weird, like, Marvel-style alliteration in these six films. And that right there marks the first thread of connection. Now, there's going to be other threads that connect them. There's going to be other threads that connect other movies to them. But that one was just too hard to fucking ignore. Especially because, again, he acknowledges it himself. In the making of Hubie Halloween and in bringing back
Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen to play the love interest, acknowledging that there is this nod to his double V love interest in these films was just too, it was too low hanging of a fruit for us to not pick.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We're looking at the easiest thing that connects the films, a multitude mm-hmm. of films. And right. while we can look at the fact that Ben Stiller plays the same character in Happy Gilmore and Hubie Halloween, and
or
that
Carl Weathers in Little Nicky and Happy Gilmore,
and Happy
right.
Gilmore, right? Like, we have those shared roles by the same actor, and that's an important place to start. So if we look at these six, maybe we can see other patterns that will emerge, and then we can take, you know, our rudimentary theory of Sandler and apply it to his other films.
I mean, yeah, yeah. You know, most people out there are going to point out that we're not looking at things like Grown Ups or Ridiculous Six, like, or Chuck and Larry, like these other movies that have all of the same people in them and the same jokes in them in a lot of places and stuff like that. Like, and there we are going to get to those, promise. And also that, like, those ones are both more connected than we realize and maybe not as connected as we think, like talking about things like that. I'm going to be very curious when we get to some of the really weird ones, like anger management and Jack and Jill and stuff like that. There might be a parallel universe we might have to talk about, much like you were saying with the Drew Barrymore films. I think there might also be something to say about the Adam Sandler teamed up with the known old aging actor universe that we have to kind of look at. Yeah, man, there's gonna be a lot of stuff that we get into in this show. And again, I just want to bounce back to what we said in the beginning. This is coming from a place of serious love. This is for real, folks.
You know what's really good? When you're doing a project and you feel you have to assert just how honest and like we're being earnest right now. This isn't a joke for us. I want to scholarly look at these films and write the definitive Adam Sandler Cinematic Universe theory. That's my goal. That's the goal of this show. So we look forward to you coming along on that adventure with us.
Yeah. there is something that I want to introduce here bright and early that I would like to do every episode, if you don't mind, Dev.
I'd love to.
I want to lay one piece of Adam Sandler trivia at everyone's feet every year. And this is going to be real, honest to goodness, might win you some pub trivia. And sometimes it'll come in the form of a question. Sometimes it'll just be too good and I'll just spurt it out. But today it is in a form of a question. Devin, I have to ask if you know this. Do you know the first actual titled Happy Madison production film?
The first one that was under the Happy Madison banner? Whew. All right. I'm going to say Grandma's Boy. I'm probably wrong.
That is years later. That is like years later. Grandma's Boy is 2006, and we are talking about a film in 1999. The first Happy Madison production is Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. So even before he gets into Little Nicky, he establishes the Happy Madison title, right? The production company, and he ends up. That's where he ends up really kind of raking it in, because like not only is he now starring in his own movies that he's also now producing, he's also producing movies for like passion projects for his friends. So we have the Rob Schneider project of Deuce Bigelow, and then next year we have Little Nicky, and then the year after that we have Joe Dirt and The Animal. Then after that we have Master of Disguises in that universe, and then not in that universe. I should not use that term so lightly now that we're doing this.
Yeah, there's a big banner. Thing is that we need to make sure we use our words very carefully.
yeah. So we're
under that banner. It's under the Happy Madison banner.
Yep.
Master of Disguise.
Male Gigolo.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, there's a reason that we didn't call this show, you know, Welcome to Happy Madison, because we are specifically focusing on the Adam Sandler part.
Yes.
And maybe someday it will expand into looking into these other Happy Madison as a cinematic universe and not just Adam Sandler as a cinematic universe.
Oh, I'm already talking to Spotify about doing my Spade cast someday, but that's a different thing.
Wow, I feel like Spade cast isn't politically correct at all.
Oh, man, it wouldn't be talking about his shit. But hey, man, I
like Just Shoot Me. I'll be honest.
I say this as a card-carrying only member of the fucking David Spade fan club. I will watch anything he does, even if it is utter trash, Joe Dirt 2. And I am down on David Spade. Don't worry.
Really liked him in Rules of Attraction. Was that the name of that show? No, Rules of Attraction is a movie.
Rules of Attraction is a movie. It's Rules of Engagement.
Rules of Engagement, yeah.
And he's amazing on Engagement.
Rules of Engagement is one of my favorite TV shows. In fact,
He makes that show watchable for the first like half a season, and then you realize everybody else is really good too.
Yeah, like you're there for David Spade, and they don't hide or shy away from that at all.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, remember when you were watching How I Met Your Mother for Doogie Howser? You're here for David Spade.
Yeah.
But we're going to develop everybody into a likable character, unlike How I Met Your Mother. I'm going to be throwing jabs at How I Met Your Mother during this, too. I do it during the other show. I'm mad that I wasted 9 years of my life on How I Met Your Mother. And I'm not ashamed to admit that.
Oh, come on now. It was really only the last 4 years you wasted.
Yeah, but then it made everything else feel like a waste retroactively.
Fair enough.
And hopefully that doesn't happen as we explore the Adam Sandler cinematic universe.
We're too late for him to ruin it now. At this point, if he goes downhill, we just get to talk about him sunsetting. But, yeah.
But, yeah, so that's what we're doing. What is going to be the release schedule, right? That's a thing that these early episodes do, these introduction, mission statement, mission objective episodes of podcasts do, is let you know when you can find this show.
Yeah, pretty early, Dev and I decided this was going to be a monthly. So those of you that want to hear our dulcet tones more than once a month, you can check out our Say Report show, which is a weekly. But this you're only going to get once a month.
Right. And the reason for that is, the Say Report, we do weekly, and we don't want to burn ourselves out because we want to give this the the time that it deserves.
Yeah, we all know that the quality of that show is on a tenuous string as it is, so we can't risk anything.
Right. We want to make sure that we're coming at this with clear minds every month to explore the Adam Sandler cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. So it will be released monthly. I'm thinking like middle of the month. It's going to release on Fridays, so you can go into your week and thank God it's Friday with Adam Sandler.
And we'll try and let people know through social media and possibly if we can an episode ahead of what the date will be for the next episode. I think we can say that. We can strive to know at least a month out.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that a month out we can do it. Like, looking forward, this episode, your introduction episode, and then you're going to get your first episode, I believe it's the 15th of December is what we agreed on.
Right. So we'll shoot for that. So pay attention, kids.
Yeah. So you can listen to us delve into the world of Billy Madison on December 15th. And then at that point, we'll have established when you can listen to us talk about the other one. December 15th sounds wrong. Seijin, vamp for a second while I get up a calendar.
Yeah, no. So the idea is just to give you guys just a full view of what we're hoping to do with the show. We are going to do these six films. We're going to sit back and we're going to look at each of these over the next 6 months, and we're going to talk about what makes them part of the universe. And then from there, that's going to lay some groundwork for us to start talking about some of his other projects. And at that point, it's going to be kind of up to us and up to you guys what we talk about. If you guys are really interested in a specific thing, let us know. The more people that hype up a thing, obviously, the more we're going to pay attention to it. But if we get a wild hair up our ass that we're like, no, this week we're doing fucking Hotel Transylvania, like that's what we're going to do. But part of doing this show is figuring it out. I think one of the reasons that Dev and I were really hell bent on getting this thing out there is that it was pointed out that this was a thing in the world. And then too many people jumped in with like wibbly wobbly timey wimey nonsense about what actually constituted what the joke was. And anybody that knows us knows that we can't abide by that, that we will take the joke to its logical and unfortunately unfunny conclusion of like, let's actually talk about this, because it was just too real for us. And so that's what we hope to do here is establish something really, truly real. Because it's hard to ignore 25 years of cinema and like what that does to the world around it. The fact that he's one of the few things that I could point to that like didn't really get drastically changed after like 9/11 in like a weird way, right? Like he's the same guy. He's making the same kind of comedy he was in 1995 now, which is nuts. Like we've gone through a pandemic and possibly what might turn out to be the craziest election in any of our lives this year. And the fact that like we were able to get a fucking Adam Sandler movie as true as it ever has been right in the middle of it says something. And what is that? What is it saying? We don't know, but we're going to find out, hopefully.
And it also comes down to the fact that once the idea of a Sandlerverse was brought up in popular culture, I was beating back people with a broomstick being like, so what do you think it would be? Tell me what you think it would be, Devin. Devin, define the Sandlerverse. So it's like, yeah, I'll do it. Fine. You were asking me as a joke, but I'm going to take the time and I will define a Sandlerverse for you, Will.
But that's I mean, that's always been the kind of the secret of our sense of humor and the Say Report and our personal lives, is that it's actually not funny to us. It's always real. That's my secret. I'm always real.
Yeah. I'm always taking it seriously, even if I'm, you know, talking out the side of my mouth. And I'm mad at Seijin right now. You know why I'm mad at Seijin? Because he keeps making me forget about December. You keep making, first of all, you make me feel like we're in December while it's November. You've done that like 8 times.
Hey, man, I do it to myself every second of every day. I keep forgetting we still have another month left in 2020.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. It's not just you. A lot of people are acting like 2020 is over, as if that works. But no, so the 15th is actually when our episode's going to release in January, January 15th. For December, it's going to be December 11th to coincide with the first night of Hanukkah.
Nice.
Which makes sense, because it's Adam Sandler. And even if you've never seen an Adam Sandler movie before, I have to imagine you've heard his Hanukkah song.
Even if you didn't hear it, even if you didn't hear it from him, you've heard some shitty little kid around you singing it. I made sure of that when I was growing up.
So that's it. So you're going to get our Billy Madison episode is going to be on December 11th. And I'm willing to swing for the fences and say that our Happy Gilmore episode is going to be January 15th. So you can put those in your Palm Pilot right now. Eat up, Martha. those are the first two. And we're going to just go chronologically with these first six for the next 6 months. And that's how we're going to see you. What other movies fit in. And Seijin already said brilliantly that once these six are done, it can really be whatever we want it to be. So, and we'll let you know in advance so that you can do the required watching and, you know, have some basis for whatever claims we're going to make about the film. Yeah.
All right, man.
So is there anything else that you think we should add to let people know what this is going to be, or...
Just, you know, play with us, you know, come with us on this journey, because even if this is something where you're like, I don't do Adam Sandler movies, I kind of then really want you to come with us, because I want to know what you're feeling when you're doing this, and reach out to us and let us know your feelings about what we've done to you. This is just something that I am excited in earnest to actually embark on, and I'm very happy to make this a project that I'm doing in my life, and I'm thank you all for coming along with us. Thank you, Devin, for really pushing getting this idea off the ground, and I'm excited.
Well, Seijin, thank you for approaching this as earnestly as you are, because this has been consuming my mind since we recorded that last episode of the Say Report. As like, no, this is something that we could do. Not only is this something that we could do, it kind of feels like we're on a mission from God type stuff in order to fulfill this mission of establishing our version of the Sandlerverse. Now, as a podcast, so there'll be a lot less car chases, but probably still more than a podcast should have. I'm going to be honest with you.
Hey, and we still hate Nazis.
We do, yeah. And white supremacists, if you're going to talk about Blues Brothers 2000, right?
Which, but we will.
Well, yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. Probably.
Not on this show.
Not for a while.
In the world. Yeah. Man, if we get so far down the rabbit hole in the Sandlerverse that we're talking about Blues Brothers 2000, that'll be a day.
I mean, it's a hop, skip, and a jump, man. Dan Aykroyd exists in Adam Sandler films. He's in Pixels. That's all I need. That's all I need to get to Blues Brothers.
I forgot about President Aykroyd.
He's not the president.
Is he not the president of that?
No, he's the head of the video game competition that starts the whole thing. I'm so excited for you to rewatch Pixels.
What is the movie I'm thinking about where he plays the president?
I don't think he ever plays the president. He plays the chief in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh, that's not what I'm thinking of, but that's another good pull.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan Aykroyd. The thing that upset me the most about Hubie Halloween is that Dan Aykroyd was not the mayor of Salem.
Yeah.
And we will jump deeper into that. You know. But yeah, so that's it. So Hopefully that right there was enough of a flex of my Sandler muscles.
I don't know why, but I was mixing up his role in those movies with his role in My Fellow Americans.
Okay.
The Jack Lemmon James
Garner. Oh, I love My Fellow Americans. Then that's something for us to talk about in a different setting. And I'm excited to do it. But for right now, no. We're talking about Adam Sandler. This show is about the Adam Sandler cinematic universe, and it's right there on the tin. So, yeah. So if you want to get in touch with us about the Adam Sandler cinematic universe, right now the best place to go is to our direct Twitter accounts. So you can find me at Devin D. Decker.
You can find me at Siege versus the World.
And once we get like all the social media stuff put together, we'll make sure that that's out there and that you know about it. Heck, it's probably going to be an insert after this because Siege and I haven't really decided on what we want our Twitter handle to be for Adam Sandler Cinematic Universe.
We'll get there.
Yeah. But really, we were just so excited to start this journey and share this journey with you that we wanted to make sure that we got our ideas down. Because then once we say what our mission statement is, I know that I'm legally bonded to follow anything that I've ever said on tape. I can't speak for Cedron, but...
I am not. But yeah, no, let's do this thing.
Yeah. All right. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the Sandlerverse. Thank you so much for listening to the Adam Sandler Cinematic Universe podcast. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe so it's delivered straight to you. And why not write or review? If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter, we're at the ASCU. And you can always send an electronic mail to Adam Sandler Cinematic Universe at gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Apologize to your mother for me. And we'll see you next time.